Now, the lie I'm going to start with right now is the lie that my marriage problems are all my spouse's fault. That's never true, by the way. I mean, you might be completely wrong. Your spouse may have gone out and committed adultery. They may have left you high and dry. They may have squandered all your money. And you can say, well, everything in our marriage is their fault. I'm upset and I'm angry and I do this stuff. I'm acting this way. I'm reacting this way because the problems we have are my spouse's fault. So that's why I'm basically what you're doing is you're excusing. Lots of times when you say that, you're excusing your own behavior. There are two types of people in a marriage. There's the one who takes too much responsibility, and then there's the one that takes none or not enough. You know, I'll give you an example between two people that are mentioned in the book. And one, you know, goes around thinking all the time, well, my spouse is mad at me because, you know, he told me I did this wrong and this, and I'm such a terrible person. And, you know, I'm sorry, honey, but it's my fault that you're an alcoholic. Or it's my fault that you have anger problems because I know that I make you mad all the time, so it's my fault. And then the other one is the person that goes around saying, I'm angry because you're such an idiot. Or I drink because you have driven me to drinking. Or if you didn't make so many mistakes and do so much wrong, I'd be a lot nicer person. And it's, as you can well guess, that's just, it's just garbage. It's, none of it's true. You know, the truth of the matter is that there are always, when there are problems in a marriage, it's almost always. Matter of fact, it is always. I can't think of any case that I know of, in my case, in other people I know, where it wasn't two people's fault. To some extent, at least, because it's just how it works. Marriage doesn't happen in a vacuum to where one person does all these things wrong and the other person contributed nothing to the failure or the difficulty of the marriage. It's just not true. But of the two types of people, the second type of person who is never taking enough responsibility is worse because they chronically blame their spouse for feelings or actions and cause greater damage to the relationship, and are much more likely to deny the plank in their own eye, as I mentioned in the last lie, and are rarely truly sorry for their actions or words. What happens is the person that thinks that all the marriage issues they're having are their spouse's fault, they're the ones that never look at themselves. They never look and say, well, why is my husband reacting this way? Could I possibly change something to make this better? And changing something to make it better doesn't mean you sit back and take whatever criticism or abuse that is doled out. There's a way to respond to it in a godly way, and it's not going into a shell. And it's not lashing back out in anger either. But generally it's the second type of personality, the dominant personality, the one that has to always be in charge and always have his way. Those are the ones that usually blame all the problems in a marriage on their spouse. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you marry somebody, you love them and you think they're wonderful and everything, and as time goes on, next thing you know, they're the worst thing in the world because every problem you have is because of them. And it's obviously not true. Another thing they like to do, these type of people, is they feel like if they cause their spouse to feel guilty and start looking at themselves as bad or wrong, that they'll get their way, and that the method is justified because in the long run they're blaming all their spouses, or they're blaming their spouses for all their faults that are going on in the marriage and all the problems, and so they use that blame. They use that feeling of It's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility, so that they can control their spouse, to get their way. They use it as a weapon. And I think I mentioned that yesterday in some of the discussions that I was having with you. And it's never true. And anything that happens, they blame their spouse. I mean, it could be, like, say, for instance, you go out to mow the grass and it starts to rain. You know, you can just say, well, that just, it just rained. Well, sometimes people do, and this is, I know this sounds crazy, but this happens. They come back in and say, well, it's raining now. I wanted to mow the yard, but I couldn't because you had me do this and it's raining, so it's your fault. Well, it's not. It's not their fault that it's raining. You know? And so I think we do that with our marriages too. We have this sense that, you know, you're not showing me affection and I didn't do nothing. It's you. It's your fault, because it doesn't matter that, you know, when you come in the door and your wife comes to give you a hug and you push her aside and say, "Wait a minute, the game's on." You know? You know, you don't think about that. You don't see that as a part of the fault of the marriage. You say, well, later on you want to give your wife a hug, and she says, no, I'm going to go do the kitchen. And then you say, well, she never shows me affection. It's her fault. All our marriage faults, all our problems with affection are hers, because I wanted to give her a hug before she went in and did the kitchen, and she wouldn't. Where you completely overlook and forget the fact that you pushed her aside to watch a football game. And I love football, but I don't put my wife... there was probably a time in my life where I did put football over my wife, but I don't now, because I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way. And not that our marriage is perfect, because it's not. Anybody that tells you that their marriage is perfect, is they need to talk to Kirk about their lying problem. So, and the first example of a person who blamed their spouse for the problems is... Adam, in Genesis 3, verse 11 through 13, and I'll read that. It says, "And he said, and God said to Adam, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' And the man said, 'The woman you gave here with me, she's the one that made me take the fruit and eat it.'" You know, he blamed his problem, because I think George hit on this yesterday about not being a leader. He blamed the fact that he was not the leader of his partnership with his wife on her, when it was his problem. And, you know, the Lord said something to the woman that she was wrong, but the problem was Adam. But he took and blamed that problem on Eve. He said, "Oh, no, Lord, it wasn't, you know, look what you did. You gave me this woman, look what happened." You know, it's that's the first example of it, but that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what the inclination of the human heart is to do, is to pass blame off. You know, you might put a glass on the end of the table, and it's just barely hanging there, and the next person comes down, puts their hand on it, falls off, and says, "Oh, you knocked that glass off," you know? You're always willing to say it's someone else's fault. Nothing is ever your fault, if you're that type of personality. And then again, there's the other person that says everything is their fault. You know, you might have dropped someone might have ran into you in the kitchen. Say your husband brushes by you in the kitchen and you drop a glass, and your first thought is, "Oh, I wasn't holding on to that glass tight enough." You know, that type of person usually is conditioned to be that way. Most people don't normally get to that point. But what happens is they get into a marriage or a relationship where one person is tearing them down constantly and pointing out their mistakes and pointing out the faults and saying, "Our marriage isn't as good as it should be because you don't do this," or, "Our marriage is not as good as it could be because you did this," or, "Our marriage is in trouble because of you," or, "Our marriage is in turmoil because of you," and never looking back at themselves. And again, like I said, a lot of these themes are very similar, just like the last slide when I was talking about where we always want to point out the flaws of the other person. But it carries over into this. Is it lots of times when we have marriage turmoil, we always blame it on the other person. Not always. Sometimes people will own up to their problems. And that's when we do that and we are having problems, when both people can own up to their side of the issue, generally the things start to get better. But as long as one person is obstinate and says, "No, I'm not at fault here at all. This is all the other person's fault," it's never going to get resolved. It's never. if you go into marriage counseling or anything with the idea that, okay, let's go to counseling because you're going to find out how messed up you are. If you go into counseling with that kind of attitude, guess what? It's going to do you no good. No good. Because your attitude is going to defeat it right at the very beginning. We have to learn to take responsibility when we are wrong. Our mistakes and our wrongs are not our spouse's fault, ever. Ever. I don't care if they are abusing you emotionally day in and day out and telling you how awful you are. If you go out and murder them, guess what? That's your fault. You know, it's not anyone else's fault. We have a choice as Christians, as people, to react to things in different ways. And there's a way to react to things in the Bible that instructs us how to react in every situation. That's the one thing about God's Word, is that every situation you face in life, there's an answer for it in here on how to respond. And responding to abuse with abuse is never the right response. So when we act, again, our mistakes are our responsibility. If they make a mistake, it doesn't excuse ours. When we act in a negative or bad way to something our spouse did wrong, it's our fault, not theirs. They are responsible for what they did wrong, but it gives you no excuse to do wrong yourself. Let's turn to Romans 14, verse 10 and 12. I hope this is the right one. Okay, and this is the thing. And I'll skip I'll read the whole thing from 10 to 12. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. People, if you're blaming your spouse for all the problems in your marriage, and you're doing things that are contributing to it, and you're not holding yourself accountable for them, guess what? Guess who's going to hold you accountable? God. He is going to hold you accountable. I mean, even as Christians, I think when we get up there, and there's going to be things in our life that we didn't know we did, and God's going to call us out on those things. I did that. I need to pinch this back on here. Sorry about that. Had a little technical problems. There we go. Yeah. So we're going to give an account on how we react to things and how we judge ourselves. So many often, again, like I spoke before about saying that my spouse's problems are worse than mine. We're going to give an account of ourselves and how we conducted ourselves in our marriage. There's a lot of responsibility that goes in marriage, and it's not just to your wife and children, but it's also to God, especially as husbands, because we're supposed to be the leadership in our marriage and in our families. And if we aren't doing it, we're not holding that standard, or at least doing our very best to hold that standard, God will judge us for that. I mean, just like everything else in our life, I mean, God's grace is there and our salvation is secured. But I still think that there's an accountability to our family, and we can't fail in that as leaders. And wives, you can't fail in your responsibilities as a wife. I mean, we often do. We're not going to ever get it perfect, but we need to take that responsibility seriously. Let's look at Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I think oftentimes, and I really believe this happens a lot in churches amongst married couples, you'll have people who they go to church and they're the perfect couple. You know, everything is just hunky-dory. I wish we could get along as well as they do. But you don't see what goes on at home. Because who they really are is who they are at home. And I remember one time I was at the other church we used to go to. It wasn't at this church, thankfully. But I went over to a person's house with his wife, and I knew them both well. And they were well-respected people in the church. He taught an adult fellowship class and knew the word inside and out. And we were doing something, and I was doing some plumbing work for him, and he was an older gentleman. And he was asking his wife to do something. He asked her to bring her a tool or bring a tool to him or something. And she brought out this tool, and it was the wrong tool. And he just lost it, and he goes, he drew his fist back. And I'm saying, wow. You know, I'm not saying he ever abused her or anything. I don't know if he did or not. But I thought, what a reaction. And this is a person that supposedly loved the Lord, was teaching Sunday school. And it really brought home to me the fact that we don't always know. Because someone can put up a facade real easy. And so I think it's important that as Christians, we try to be genuine and not... I mean, if we have flaws, we need to try to correct them. But the worst thing you can do is have all these faults and all these problems and try to deny that you have them. Because what happens is it leads to you living almost a false existence, trying to put out this facade of perfection and spirituality, when in reality you have a lot of issues and sometimes serious issues. Now, I don't... excuse me. I don't know how bad this guy's issue was, but I know that that was very telling to me, and I was shooken by it. I was actually physically upset by it, because this was a man that I respected, and it showed a side to him that I never knew existed. And so, the point of the scripture in Hebrews 4 is that you can hide that from people all you want. You can hide your flaws from people, and I'm not saying you should tell everybody, "Hey, I got this problem and that problem," and I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is just remember that God sees it all. He sees it all, everything, every flaw, every character problem you have. So for someone to go into a marriage counseling or something or talk to someone else about their marriage and say, "Our marriage would really be good if my wife wasn't so messed up," or "My marriage would be really good if my husband wasn't so messed up," you're a fool if you say that. You're foolish. So, and it's something we should try to avoid. You know, an example of a person who thinks that their wife or husband is messed up is they are the type of people that will throw a tantrum, punch their fist through a wall, throw stuff, you know, scream. There was a time in my life that I was... very similar to that. I can remember one time, and we still have it covered up in our house. It happened about 30 years ago. I got angry about something, and I don't even know if it was I was angry at Gloria or something, but I got mad. I put my fist through the door, and it was probably about the mid-80s. It was about 2 or 3 years after we left church here, which explains a lot, because in that course of time, we had probably quit going to church at that point. But I look back at that, and I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of it. And I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes I'd watch the Cleveland Browns and they would do something. It's okay to put your fist through a wall over the Cleveland Browns. Not really. Because they're very... Now that is their fault. But the important thing is when we get angry about something or if we do have faults, our spouses have faults, which we all do, our response should never be out of control response. We should always, I mean, one of the things it talks about in the Bible a lot is self-control, and we should always have self-control. We are jointly responsible for the state of our marriage, good or bad. Whether our marriage is good or whether our marriage is bad, we are jointly responsible for that. I mean, anybody that walks around saying, "Well, I got a good marriage because I'm such a good guy," is, of course, an idiot. So we both get the fault, and we both get the credit, as the case may be. And don't blame our mistakes and wrongs and negative reactions on our spouse, because our faults are not theirs, ever. Okay? That's lie number five.